Welcome to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello, I'm here in studio with Mary Pero, and we're bringing you another missionary story. I love these missionary stories, and I know you do too, Mary, because you were on the mission field.
Yes, and these stories are the best because they're so encouraging, I think, and inspiring for our own lives, where we're at, the lessons that we can draw from these women, their resilience, the way they trusted in the Lord, the way they continued, they kept going. So I'm very excited to hear about today's woman worth knowing.
I am too. It's Evelyn Richner. Now, Richner is R-Y-C-H-N-E-R, but thank goodness the book contained the pronunciation, which was Richner, because I think I would have probably done Richner, but yeah. It's Richner. She actually comes from a Swedish family, and she was raised in a Swedish community in Minnesota. She was actually raised on a farm in a place called Piers, Minnesota, not a well-known place because mainly farms. And she was born on February 4th, 1919. And she was the very middle child. She had two older brothers and a younger brother and a younger sister. She was not raised in a religious family at all. I mean, they were just irreligious. They weren't immoral. They were upright. They were good people, farmers, you know, good stock. But they just didn't really have time for church, and the church was too far away. And so they really were kind of independent. She went to a one-room schoolhouse from the age of 5 all the way to 13, and there were only 30 other students. And you figure that some of them would have been her siblings.
Probably, yeah.
So a really small community. Now, one day, these men showed up from a church that was in a town called Freedom, and they invited Mr. Richner and his whole family to come to church. And he said, you know, it's 6 miles away. I can't go that far. And in Minnesota in 1932, because that's when these men showed up at the door, that was a really long distance, 6 miles. I mean, you consider the inclement weather in Minnesota. You consider the unpaved roads, just the difficulties and being on a farm in this really rural area. And to try to get to town on a Sunday morning with 5 children, besides right. your wife, would be really, really difficult. And so he refused. He demurred. And they came back. The same people came back the following week, and they said, we heard you're on the school board, which is, I think, is pretty hilarious because the school only had 30 kids, right? We heard you're on the school board, and we're wondering if we can use the one-room schoolhouse to have a church in. And he said, well, you know, I'll ask, but I don't think it's going to work because most of the members of the, you know, school board are Catholic. And I don't know how they're going to feel about a Protestant church coming in. So he went to the other school board members, and unanimously they voted to have the schoolhouse be used as a church. So from that day forward, Evelyn and her family started going to church at this little church, and it was pastored by a man named Clarence Swanson, and he faithfully came every Sunday morning. Now, the following summer, 2 women from the Swedish community of Freedom came to the house to inquire if the Richner children could go to VBS. Of course, now this is going to be in Freedom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Richner at first refused, again because of the distance, but when the women offered to give the children a ride, he agreed to let them go. So at the Vacation Bible School, because that's what VBS stands mm-hmm. for. I always forget because we're so used to these initials, you know, because right. we grow up in church. But at the Vacation Bible School in Freedom, when Evelyn heard the invitation to accept Jesus, she immediately raised her hand. She's
wow.
13 years old, and she's like, this is everything I've ever wanted. And her older brother, when he saw her hand raised, poked her in the ribs and said, you do that and there could be trouble at home. But Evelyn didn't care about the cost. She just knew that she wanted Jesus. And from the moment she accepted Jesus, in her words, she was thoroughly converted.
Wow.
Evelyn began to seek the Lord. Now, she's a teenager. She's like 14 or 15 years old, fervently. And her walk so impressed her family that each member of her family, including her mother and father, made a commitment to Jesus Christ.
Wow.
The whole family came to the Lord, all because of Evelyn's enthusiasm and passion for Jesus. Now, from the time she got saved, Evelyn had this incredible hunger, and she wanted to teach others about Jesus, and she wanted to evangelize. She wanted to be a soul winner, but she felt like her knowledge was only so deep, and she wanted to know more. So she went to her pastor, and the pastor of the church suggested that she go to a Bible school, and Evelyn wanted to, but she's still in high school, right? And she doesn't have the money. So she decided to quit high school and work for a full year as a maid housekeeper in Evanston, Illinois. And within a year, she had saved enough money to go to St. Paul Bible Institute, which is now called Crown College, still exists.
Wow. I think that's pretty incredible from her parents going from a place of, no, none of this, it's too far, to it sounds like there wasn't any resistance to her leaving school.
Yeah.
Going to work so that she could go to Bible college.
Right. It's just, I think her father was probably one of those, like, as long as you earn the money, you can do what you want.
Right.
Because
he's
just this hardworking farmer. So St. Paul Bible Institute, Crown College, is a Missionary Alliance college. But it was the Missionary Alliance College in Minnesota. And so Evelyn was in her third year of Bible college when she felt the call to the mission field. She wanted to serve. She knew she wanted to serve in South America and specifically in the Andes Mountains.
Wow.
She just knew. And how she came across that or why, we don't know, except that the Lord put it heavily on her heart. And it was actually as she was listening to a missionary from China share that she said, I'm called to South America, to the Andes.
To the Andes.
So Evelyn put in an application to CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance, and it was refused. Now, it's important to remember that this is during the time of World War II that she's putting in these applications. And it seems like they might have been a little bit stretched at that point, trying to care for their missionaries, bringing most of them back home. And so they wrote her and told her that a high school degree was required of every missionary. Now, even though Evelyn had outstanding grades and was about to graduate from Bible college, it did not make up for the lack of a high school diploma.
Interesting.
So she was so discouraged, and she thought, well, maybe this isn't for me, or maybe I should seek a different missionary organization. And one of her teachers at the Bible college said, Evelyn, if this is really God, and this is really a call from God, don't you think you ought to persevere? Mm. And isn't it worth everything to answer the call of God? And Evelyn thought, that teacher's right. Mm-hmm. So she decided to get her high school diploma by correspondence. So that summer, she began to travel with a friend. Now, Evelyn was a musician, so you would like that. She played the guitar and, she also played the organ.
Okay.
But guess what other instrument she played?
I have no idea.
It's something she could take any place she goes.
Okay. The flute?
An accordion.
Oh, maybe I should have guessed accordion.
If you put organ and guitar together, maybe you come up with accordion.
Yeah.
I don't know. But she could play the accordion. So she had a friend, and they decided to travel. They went to Montana, and they held these revival meetings. And they would stand on a street corner, and she would play the accordion or the guitar. They would sing together, draw a crowd, and begin to share about Jesus.
Wow.
And give an invitation at the end.
She's a one-man band.
She
is. And the evangelist.
Exactly. And at the same time, she's trying to get her high school diploma, and she was failing miserably when it came to algebra.
Well,
everything else was great, but algebra.
She and I have a lot in common.
Must be a musician thing. Algebra was such a struggle for her. However, at the same time, she found out that the University of Minnesota would allow her to get her high school diploma simultaneously while she got a degree in nursing.
Wow.
So she signed up and she graduated with a nursing degree and her high school diploma in 1945, at the age of 26. Mm. Now, only one obstacle remained to Evelyn's application to be a missionary. She needed to take a missionary training course at NIAC. And we've talked about NIAC on this program before. Again, it's a Christianary Missionary Alliance College that was in NIAC, New York, started out in Manhattan. But what they really, really had was they had this short course just for those who were going to the mission field.
Okay.
So it would teach you like practical things like how to make a fire, how to cook on a kerosene stove, how to roll up your bedding, how to survive in really hard situations. Mm-hmm. And Darlene Diebler, who we talked about before, she went to NIAC. And she said that training helped her survive the war camp, the POW camp that she was in Indonesia during World War II.
Mm.
So these skills that they taught their missionaries were invaluable.
Yeah, the other thing that's really striking about this is I think to us in this modern day, we think, well, everyone needs to have a high school degree, but you're coming from, I mean, she was born in 1919.
Right.
In Minnesota.
Right.
In a very rural area, in a one-room school. It's probably pretty common that a lot of kids didn't end up finishing their degree. But what is even more interesting to me is that sometimes when the Lord calls us, there are all these things that kind of seem like obstacles.
Right.
Like, wait, I need to go back and get a degree, or I need to go do this. And I love the encouragement that she received, or even the additional class, you know, maybe in NIAC. Do I really need to learn how to do all these things? And yet, it's the Lord.
Right. And, you know, some people would consider like any obstacle a closed door.
Right.
And instead, she didn't.
No.
It was something, you know, ask, seek, knock. It was something to overcome.
Yeah. And is it Romans 5 where it talks about how these patience teaches us endurance, and endurance develops character, and character develops hope, and hope does not disappoint us because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts. So these things often are part of the calling.
Absolutely. So on March 25th, 1946, Evelyn received her acceptance letter. By this time, she's gone to NIAC. However, as you know, in 1946, World War II had just ended, and CMA was overwhelmed with rescinding the missionaries that had been forced to be stateside while the war raged, as well as welcoming back all the missionaries that had been prisoners of war. Evelyn was told, "You should be engaged in some kind of soul-saving ministry in the homeland while you wait for further word from us. It should be with a feeling that your work is the highest plan of God for you, and you should pursue it as if your whole life were to be spent that way. It may be. Be sure to make good in the home service. See souls won to the Lord. Learn to pray through your problems and get spiritual victories and success in your work. If you are a failure at home, there is no reason to feel that a passport will change you as to make you a success abroad."
Hmm.
Now, that's pretty harsh,
yeah.
But yet it's really true, isn't it?
It is good advice, but a little bit.
Yeah, stringent.
Yeah, a little heavy.
Yes, yes. And you'll have some, I'll read another stringent letter that will come later.
Yeah.
But she did exactly that.
Hmm.
Evelyn was known for her good nature, for taking things in stride and going, okay, so I'll do home service. So she looked into what home services were available through Christian Missionary Alliance, and they had one that was on the Texas-Mexico border. So she got a train ticket, and she boarded this train with her trunk, which her trunk stayed with her all throughout her life, this trunk that she had. And it went with her all the way from Minnesota all the way down to the Mexico border, right? And she had no money except for the money just for that ticket. But she felt like, all right, this is a test of faith. I'm going to depend on the Lord. And you've got to remember, she didn't really have a lot of hope for money because it's 1946. The whole nation is struggling.
Yes.
Everyone's in recovery. So Evelyn had to pray hard for money for rent, food, and everything else. But when she got to the area of Rio Grande Valley, there was an unexpected check waiting for her from her home church for $10.
Mm.
And they pledged to send $10 every month for her support. There was only one issue. Her rent was $5. So that's half her paycheck, right? And that's a month. And so during that time, rent became a faith-building exercise.
Mm.
She never knew up until the day the rent was due where it was going to come from. But she said God never failed to give her that money to give to the landlady right when it was due. And she told of one time when she just didn't have it and she didn't know what she was going to do. And there was this one sweet woman from her church back at home that would send her $1 a month just for support. And, you know, that's a lot in those days, yes, especially for a single widow to be sending to the mission field. And one day when the rent was due, the woman sent her $5. And in the envelope was a little note and it said, I was saving up for a bedspread. And the Lord said, you don't need a bedspread, but Evelyn needs that money. She's serving me. Mm. So I, you know, put it in this envelope and I sent it to you. And that paid the rent.
Wow.
So while she was there, Evelyn learned that it was imperative that she speak Spanish. And she struggled. She hired a woman to tutor her and to teach her. And it took that full year, but she became fluent in Spanish. She was working with a woman also in that ministry, and they both took Spanish together, and they both became very fluent. Then the second letter arrived and informed Evelyn that she would be assigned to Ecuador to work with a woman named Miss Rosalie Roble on the coast. Evelyn would be expected to do VBS visitations and hold evening meetings. Evelyn was overjoyed. Knowing that she was going to Ecuador, she started up a correspondence with a woman named Irene Downing, who was serving in Ecuador for over 24 years. And she said, you know, what do I need and how should I prepare to come to Ecuador? And so Irene Downing listed all the items that Evelyn should bring. And these are they: a good bed, a rolling pin, kitchen knives, wax paper, sifters, strainers, dish pans, mixing bowls, serving bowls, birthday cards, wrapping paper, and ribbons, a tea kettle, a coffee pot, and lots of shoes and stockings. She also suggested paper napkins as an extra bonus. Don't think, as some of us have in the past, that because you are coming to the mission field that you must renounce all things pretty. So I think I like Irene Downing.
I mean, is she starting a ministry at a bakery? That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, interestingly enough, Evelyn was a baker. She loved to bake. And her specialty, which is in the book, is a recipe for rhubarb pie.
Oh, so isn't that like a little love letter from the Lord? Like, don't think you have to get rid of everything. Come on, wink, wink, bring your baking items.
Bring your baking items.
Bring a rolling pin.
Most of all, Irene encouraged her to bring along a good sense of humor and the ability to get along with your fellow missionaries, adding that if she brought those two qualities, a lot of the other articles would not be necessary.
Oh, I am charmed by Irene.
I think
Where
so
is
too.
Her book?
I know. And
what great advice.
I know. And they wrote back and forth. They became very close friends through correspondence. So again, Evelyn waited. Now she's throwing herself into the mission at hand in Texas. She waited for over a year, almost 2 years, for the next letter to say, all right, it's time. She was able to help the people in Texas build a church from a sheep barn. And the congregation was growing and growing. And Evelyn helped to raise the funds that they needed by selling used clothing for the church.
Hmm.
So she was very involved. But when the letter came, it was a summons to New York to board the Margarita. It was her ticket for the Margarita, a passenger freight ship. So she went back to Minnesota on the train, and her parents insisted on driving her to New York with all her siblings. They all came to New York to the dock to see her off, and they were all crying. But the interesting thing is Evelyn drove. Because she said, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be driving again. So she drove. And he said she was such a wild driver. And her father commented, well, perhaps she needs to drive like this for Ecuador and it's God's preparation. He had no idea how prophetic that was.
Wow.
With her, Evelyn had packed a secondhand bed, some commentaries, a kerosene refrigerator, as well as her clothes and a few odds and ends. On board the ship, she shared a room with another female recruit named Marion, who will become her really good friend when they go to Ecuador. The journey took 10 days, and she enjoyed her time, especially meeting the other missionaries on board. Though Evelyn had in her life many suitors and marriage proposals, she had not been impressed by any particular young man. Not one shared her heart for the Lord or the mission. Her call to serve God came first and always did. After landing in Ecuador, they had to travel by boat to a place called Guayaquil. Guayaquil. I had to, again, it gave me the pronunciation, thank you, Jesus, because these are Ecuadorian names and I hate butchering things like that. But Ecuador in those days was a very, very dangerous place, and Evelyn was warned to guard her purse and her belongings carefully, everything, even her watch and any jewelry. Once arriving in Guayaquil, they were taken to the house of Miss Rosalie Roble. Now, because of her mastery, Evelyn's mastery of the Spanish language, she was immediately assigned to Sunday afternoon street meetings where she would play her accordion and evangelize, calling the people forward. She also played on Sunday morning. She played the organ for the Sunday morning services. With her guitar to lead songs and flannel graph board, Evelyn was told to go do street ministry for the children and to draw the children in. One woman volunteered her backyard, and there was a shady tree. And so Evelyn set up her flannel graph board, and she brought a bill, and she told the young girls who had come, I want you to take this bill and go through the streets, and I want you to ring it. I want you to call all the other children to come to this Sunday school meeting and to, you know, meet Jesus and hear about Jesus. And the girls were just aghast. They're like, no, no, we can't. No, we will not. And she thought that was kind of strange, but she was like, you know, all right, you know, okay, I'll do it myself. So she goes out to the streets and she's ringing the bells, and the girls are kind of following from a distance behind her and they're snickering. And what Evelyn doesn't realize is that's how the rubbish men call the people to bring out their trash. They go through the streets of Guayaquil and they ring this bell and the people will come running out with their trash. So while she's doing this, announcing this children's ministry, all these people keep running out into the street with all their rubbish, thinking that she's the garbage collector. She got such a great laugh out of that incident, and she would tell everybody about all the mistakes she made in the beginning of the ministry. Meanwhile, she's living with Miss Robles, who was a formidable presence for most of the missionaries. In fact, most of them, they avoided her. Miss Robles was very tall, and that just added to kind of her, her kind of indomitable nature. I mean, she saw things the way they were supposed to be, and that's the way they were supposed to be. Now, it's interesting because Evelyn was barely 5 feet tall. So you've got this large woman, Miss Robles, who's tall by anyone's account, somewhere around 6 feet tall. And you've got little Evelyn, who's 5 feet tall. And from the moment that Evelyn moved into Miss Robles' house, Miss Robles took control of Evelyn's life. And other missionaries, they couldn't deal with it. But Evelyn just laughed it off. In fact, one Christmas season, Evelyn was invited to go do this mission up in the hills. And she was so excited about that. And she told Miss Robles, and Miss Robles said, oh, you absolutely cannot. Every Christmas, I do an outreach out the beach and you have to come with me. I cannot go by myself and you have to come. And so Evelyn just kind of swallowed and said, all right, then that's what I'll do. And she just felt like, all right, if, you know, whatever God leads, I'm not here to do my own will. I'm here to do the will of the Lord. And the other going up to the Andes was going to be with people her own age. It was going to be wonderful. But this, she felt, was more important. At the same time that she's living in Miss Robles' house, she begins to learn the Quechua language because she's going to need that to go into the Andes and minister to these people because that's what they speak. The Quechua language. I think this is so interesting considering, you know, just a few weeks ago you spoke on Elizabeth Elliot.
Yes.
And about her time in Ecuador and her ministry and learning this language. Interestingly enough, later on we'll find out that Evelyn actually helped translate the Bible, the New Testament, into the Quechua language.
Wow.
And so anyway, Evelyn just takes everything with Miss Robles in her stride and says, well, you know, this is how it's going to be. Then I just am here to serve the Lord. So we're going to take a break, obviously, and then we'll come back with part two. And that's more just some of the adventures that she had and even some heartbreak that she had when she was ministering in Ecuador. And yet, what a great nature she had. So that's Evelyn Richner. Come back for part two.
For listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not so well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.